Your organization has encountered difficulties resulting from the so-called corona crisis. You ask yourself what you can do to deal with the constant uncertainty and how to prepare for events like this in the future. We asked ourselves the same questions and went looking for answers. Inside Impact.
Der Podcast mit Wirkung.
Hello and welcome back to Inside Impact, the podcast by the Social Entrepreneurship Center here at the Vienna University of Economics and Business. The corona crisis hit us hard on a global scale, and our daily routines and habits got thrown over at an incredible pace. With the protection measures taken to control the virus spreading, the rise of economic problems coming hand in hand with the slowing down of production and consumption did not take long. In almost all countries, companies faced difficulties to run their businesses. They had to implement remote work, or in some cases, jobs got cut. This resulted in social problematics all over the world.
Especially for social businesses and not-for-profit organizations, the past month were marked by hardship and a lot of uncertainty. That's why we decided to assess the current situation along the topic of organizational resilience. What makes an organization ready to combat unforeseen events? How can organizations prepare to better foresee upcoming issues, and which measures can be implemented to find the adequate response? What do social businesses need to know in order to better assess their organizational resilience?
Today we speak to Maya Reinert, assistant professor and expert on organizational resilience here at WU. Maya and Martin, the floor is yours.
Hi, also from my side, I'm sitting here with Maya Reinert. Maya, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Would you like to quickly introduce yourself to our listeners?
Sure. I'm an assistant professor here in the management department in the Change Management and Management Development Institute. I'm originally from Canada. I've been in Vienna now for about 4 years, and I do a lot of research on change management and some work on resilience and how organizations sort of deal with turbulent environments.
Well, we are in a turbulent environment right now, of course. So from your point of view, why should an organization actually care about being resilient or care about their resilience?
Well, I mean, if you look at right now and what's going on, there's a lot of change happening and a lot of turbulent times in the sense of even right now with the COVID situation. A lot of organizations have had to completely change their operations, their style of working, just their organization culture in general. The fact of not being able to be together in an organization, working together, seeing each other day to day, has really fundamentally impacted the way organizations work, the way their operations run. So this ability to be resilient in turbulent times like this and to be able to change and adapt quickly is important for survival. So you see a lot of businesses right now have had to close down because, you know, they weren't able to cope, or, you know, I mean, they've had to shut down essentially. So being able to be sort of adaptive and to be able to change in the face of these kinds of change pressures is really important for survival.
And would you say being resilient is the possibility to change, or is there another thing as well? Like, are there other factors?
I would say the being able to change and adapt is a fundamental part of being resilient. So you're kind of thrown with a situation that's unexpected and you're able to sort of survive. You have the capacity, you have the practices, you have the structures and the people in place to really help you deal with these challenging situations.
Okay, and why is it then that some organizations are probably a bit more resilient than others?
I mean, I think that has to do with partially the leadership, the experience in changing. So, I mean, if you're in an industry that's fast changing, that you're constantly dealing with, you know, rapid changes, changes in technology, or high degrees of competition, and you have to adapt in that way. Some organizations might be more resilient because they've had that experience, they've had that practice, they're in that kind of environment. Leadership is important in the sense that if you have a leader that can sort of lead the change, give some direction, and sort of move the organization in a cohesive way, that makes it a lot easier also for organizations to deal with these types of situations.
And what is then good leadership when it comes to change, when it comes to being resilient?
I mean, part of it is when you're in a turbulent environment, an uncertain environment, it creates a bit of anxiety, especially around employees or members of the organization. So if you have a leader that is showing, you know, strength, that is showing a clear direction and is able to provide employees with a sense of security and sort of a vision for where they want to be, what they want to do, how they want to respond, that really fundamentally decreases the level of anxiety in organization and provides sort of a direction and a sense of almost stability, even though you're facing such turbulent times.
So you would say like social skills are probably the most important parts from the leadership point of view?
I think social skills are quite important. I mean, the emotional intelligence has come up as an important factor in leaders to be able to understand and put yourself in other people's shoes and have a sort of level of empathy to realize, you know, how others might be feeling and then address some of the fears that they might be having.
And would you say resilience is like a topic which only comes up during crisis, or is it like something you would need in your regular everyday work as well?
I mean, it's built into an organization. I strongly believe that if you have a culture that is able to, you know, if you have employees that will go the extra mile for an organization, you know, if something comes up and employees are willing to stay overtime to really find a solution, to address the problem, and have that sort of attitude that we're in this together, that also helps. And that's kind of a day-to-day thing. That's part of, you know, the values, the culture of an organization as well.
And like from an academic point of view now, did the word or did resilience change like how it is perceived from an academic point of view? Was resilience something else historically, or were there other factors more important than they are now?
I mean, it's what we focus on, what we think of resilience. Is it resilience just in terms of structures? Is it resilience, you know, definition based on survival? Just the fact that an organization can survive for over 100 years. So I think the definition of resilience has changed over time. What we're interested in looking at and what strategies, whether it's the practices, it's the structure, or it's the leaders that make an organization resilient. From, you know, an academic perspective, its definitions have changed. You know, what our interests have changed as well, but whether we're looking at what are the strategies to make an organization more resilient, what are the structures that make an organization, how do you build leaders, how do you build a culture? It's shifted a lot over time, you know, what we're looking at, the puzzles that we're trying to address in academia regarding resilience.
Okay, so you already mentioned some of those, but what are then indicators that show the resilience of an organization?
Well, I mean, yes, survival is definitely one thing, right? Survival, it is a key part. I mean, if you're not resilient, then you're not going to survive. You know, one big shock happens and then, you know, the organization disappears. Other factors are just reactions. So, you know, let's say a competitor changes up their entire marketing strategy, engages in price cuts, and an organization is able to sort of adapt quickly, cut through some of the red tape, cuts through some of the bureaucracy to implement change. I mean, Xerox is one of those examples of an organization that wasn't very well adapted and wasn't able to respond very quickly. They had, you know, it's a highly bureaucratic structure. They had a great R&D department that was developing things very quickly and really impressive ideas that were coming out of their R&D department, but they couldn't get things to market quick enough. So in terms of resilience, it's that ability to connect all different parts of the organization together. So, I mean, if I were to think about a characteristic, it's this idea of a more organic structure where all of sort of the functional departments or what, however the organization is organized, they communicate with each other. They're understanding what's going on in different aspects of the organization, different parts of the organization, and work together, you know, as one organic, you know, entity moving in whatever direction. So the ability to change really depends on that awareness of what's happening in other parts of the organization.
And if I have an organization now and I think I would like to know how resilient I can be and how I can improve, what should I look at? You mentioned, of course, the culture and the communication within different teams.
Mm-hmm.
Now, also probably specifically from a social business kind of view, how do I know where I can improve, where I can be more resilient?
I would say that it's being aware of what's happening also outside. So having the feelers sort of inside your organization, being aware of what's happening and paying attention to the trends that are happening. Sometimes you get to the point where you're almost complacent. If you're a successful organization and you tend to sort of build off your success, then you start forgetting to really pay attention to the trends. And especially in today's sort of fast changing environment, not paying attention to what's going on outside is fundamentally going to make an organization less adaptive, less able to sort of change. So having that inside-outside awareness, going to sort of industry events, paying attention to a broader social changes, technological changes, political changes, and then understanding what those implications are for your organization and what does that mean for your business, and thinking more broadly, not just narrowly within your own sort of product lines or things like that, but just think about, you know, how pieces fit together from the political sphere, the social sphere, and you know, trying to put those pieces together.
So like staying on top of information and analyzing what it can do or what can be the consequences for your organization mostly.
Yes, and also just in general an openness to change, because a lot of the times you do, you know, you get comfortable with something, you develop a habit, a routine, and you become in a sense kind of inertial and complacent. And without understanding and having that openness to change, it creates, yeah, exactly, just complacency. So the ability to be open to change and willing to sort of change things up and get a little bit uncomfortable, test new things, experiment, I think that is a critical part to being resilient.
And would you say there are differences between like classical for-profit institutions or nonprofit organizations?
Yeah, there's definitely differences. And one of the things, especially when it comes to resilience, is, I mean, you look now, a lot of these nonprofit organizations are struggling a lot because right now, you know, people are having trouble making ends meet. They're losing their jobs. So it's very difficult to find, let's say, funding. And a lot of funding to nonprofits are being cut. So that creates a lot of challenges that they're facing right now. So the ability to, I think for nonprofits, it creates more challenges because they could be a little bit more dependent on the economic situation in a context. Mm.
The economic situation is very prominent in this point of view. Do you have any tips or any advices, especially for social businesses, for nonprofit organizations in terms of resilience?
Well, I mean, that's incredibly challenging. One of the issues that organization and management scholars are really looking into, especially when it comes to it's not necessarily nonprofit, but just social enterprises, you know, that idea of balancing the financial and social mission, let's say, like, how do you maintain that balance? How do you maintain the sort of focus on your social mission? You care about something other than, let's just say, making money. So when it comes to that, organizational management scholars have tried to understand what are the sort of practices, structures, relationships to outside constituencies that you can put in place to sort of maintain that focus on the social mission without drifting too far. I mean, when you have these financial pressures to make your organization financially sustainable, it tends to sort of push you over to one side and you might actually lose that social mission, that purpose that you had. So when it comes to social enterprises, understanding, you know, constantly being able to check that we're not. I mean, if you're on the ground day-to-day operations, it's sometimes hard to see that you're shifting, you know, you're drifting away from your social mission or you're, you know, drifting away from your financial mission. You're no longer financially feasible down the road. There's this kind of idea of guardrails, that you have these structures in place that constantly check. You bump into these guardrails, you realize, okay, I'm shifting too far in one direction, now let's move back. And these guardrails could be anything from like structures, like regular meetings that you have within your organization to realize, okay, this is coming up, how do we deal with this? So it's really about sort of creating these meetings, having these practices in place, having these people in place to sort of keep you on the ball, to recognize, because, you know, when you're on the ground doing things day to day, operations, you don't always notice that you might be slowly drifting away from something. So having meetings to constantly touch base, yes, meetings can be tedious at times, but really they could be made more useful in the sense that they make you aware of what's going on outside, make you aware if you're sort of drifting away from your mission, and things like that.
So to sum up, you would say like constantly evaluating your processes and evaluating if they are still within your mission, and keeping this balance would be the most important part to stay resilient and to stay alive as an organization.
Yes, and then I would say constant and specific and to the point, because I mean, you have these things, again, you fall into a pattern. If you, let's say we meet once a month and we discuss what's going on in the organization, but I mean, discussing this once a month, it kind of might turn into this routine that you forget to really touch upon. So dedicating, let's say, one person to focus on, okay, what is this meeting going to be about, and structure the meeting in a more concrete way. Sometimes when you meet together, you just end up talking and you push things, but having one person in charge for structuring, making sure everything is focused and on the ball, and exactly, you know, going through all the specific points. So it's not just about keeping up to date, but having a sort of a more structured understanding or evaluation of what we need to focus on, and being a little bit more specific about the items that you care about. And so that the meetings could be done in a way that is as efficient as possible, because, you know, no one wants to sit through a 5-hour meeting, but making sure that the sort of meeting flows efficiently and that you cover all the points that are important.
Okay, and would you say there are also differences, because many of our listeners are trying to create their own social business or have their own social startup, would you say this is also the same when you're a very new organization?
That you need to have these meetings, or?
Yeah. Or is it probably clearer, the mission, and it is not as hazardous to have this mission drift?
I would say that, so right now, one of the aspects of, you know, hybrid organizations or social enterprises that have these dual missions, one sort of dominant stream of research is how do you maintain this dominance? And even if you're building the organization, and one of them is when you're starting out is understanding that you have this dual mission and that you need people in your organization that have this understanding of the dual. Because let's say you start hiring and you're starting to build up your company and you're focused too much on the social. You don't have anyone that's, you know, taking charge of the financial side, and that creates a problem. So even just starting the business, hiring, when you're thinking about hiring who you want to put in, if you have a more balanced approach, or you have people at the top that are able to balance both, that have experience, let's say, you know, in a for-profit and in a social enterprise or a nonprofit, and you have people who are able to sort of work in both worlds, if you want to call them, then that's important. You know, that's right from the beginning, from the ground up, that you have these people in place. If you start out and you hire too much, you know, from one world, then you're going to more easily drift, right, to one side. So starting out, hiring, balancing that is really important to think about. And that really helps you create a sort of a structure and these guardrails to protect you from going too far from one side or mission drift.
All right. Is there any other point, any other strategy, any other tip or trick that you would like to let our listeners know?
In terms of tips or tricks, I mean, it's pretty self-evident in the terms of that, yeah, you have to pay attention, but it's not just about paying attention. It's about, if I were to sum it up, resilience is about openness to change, knowing what's going on, keeping in touch with what's, you know, happening on the ground in your organization, what's happening outside. And these are challenging things to do. And you can always just say, okay, I'm going to pay attention, I'm going to look, I'm going to read magazines, but it's really important to create these structures, these people, dedicated people to a particular, you know, area, because really it's not possible to just, you know, be ambiguous and say, all right, we all have to pay attention, let's all create these meetings, let's do this, but to actually assign people and to try to be more specific on what to focus on. Yeah, I would say that would be a critical aspect in trying to become a more resilient organization, building that culture, building that sort of structures and routines that are in place to make the organization, you know, able to adapt to a lot of these changes. I mean, this whole COVID situation, who would have thought that our entire world would have changed so quickly within, you know, a matter of months, that we're no longer sitting in front of students, let's say. We're no longer teaching in universities. It's all online. And to be able to adapt to that, I've been quite impressed by what, you know, organizations have been able to do, this whole switching to online, and now they're talking about keeping this on a more permanent level. So, yeah, it's really impressive what organizations and people can do in the face of these types of crises.
So you would say it would be the best tips and tricks to make it more visible, the topic, one of the issues on resilience in your organization, also in calmer times, like to deal with the topic prior than you need it, of course.
Yes, it really, I think it boils down to, you know, if you're starting a business and you have this in mind and you have this idea of, okay, I'm going to be open, I'm going to just roll with it and see what happens. I don't mean roll with it in terms of just let things happen the way they do, but be able to try to foresee as much as you can, plan as much as you can, but then if things don't work out, to be able to then say, okay, you know what? We need a new game plan, and to be able to pull everyone together and have that culture in place, those practices, those routines in place that help you say, all right, that didn't work out. Let's come up with a new game plan, and to have people in your organization that are willing to go that extra mile to, you know, come up with a plan together, that are committed to the organization, to the mission, to, you know, the leaders of the organization. I think that's critical to being resilient.
All right, Maya, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you both for those enlightening insights.
So we learned that it's not enough to read the news. One should also keep an eye on what other social businesses are doing.
Maya further recommended to establish a culture of open eyes and ears within your organization, and reflect this in your organization's structures and routines.
Especially social businesses should be aware of financial risks and potential threats already during their hiring process of employees, and make sure to have a team that is not only dedicated to the social mission, but also capable to deal with economic challenges.
Following this train of thought, in our next episode, we will speak with Walburga Fröhlich, board member of SENA, the Social Entrepreneurship Network Austria. She will talk about the role of social entrepreneurs in Austria and what they can do in the current situation.
Hallo, ich bin die Walburga Fröhlich. Wir sprechen über Social Entrepreneurs und wie es ihnen mit Covid-19 in der Krise ergangen ist und was sie alles dazu beitragen können, dass wir da wieder rausfinden.
Until then, leave a comment on our Instagram page or send us an email with your experiences in the COVID lockdown and its consequences for your organization.
Bye-bye for now.
Bye-bye.